It's a new paradigm, and we're leading it. For the women ready to unbind themselves from the shackles of business that feels like gray cubicles and stuffy suits, for business that feels like creativity and magic, for the women ready to trade in rigid boxes for delicious feminine flow. It's time for feminine leadership and business done differently. Businesses built from equal parts intuition and strategy, creativity and logic, structure and flow. We're taking up space with uniquely differentiated brands. We're messaging with equal parts head and heart. And for the women going to the top, we're scaling with structural excellence to allow our feminine flow to dance, equal parts pleasure and precision roaring into the marketplace. I'm Catherine Morrison, and I'm helping women from ground zero to multiple millions do just that. From spiritual awakenings to parsing through nuanced funnel data, from creative urges and intuitive knowings to the most razor-sharp business strategy on the market, I've got you covered. I spent my career scaling 8- and 9-figure companies, had a massive spontaneous Kundalini awakening, and now I'm on a mission to help women build businesses that make the world a better place. We're doing it our way, and we're doing it in style. This is Ascension Through Entrepreneurship. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to... I thought we were just having a two-part series on recovering from bad financial investments and then investing in business support. But then as I sat there thinking about it, I was like, there are other like levels of discernment I would love to bring to this audience. And I thought about making an entire episode on both your sort of personal evolution and your spiritual growth. But then as I was outlining that out, I mean, y'all, I was like, all right, we're going to talk about the Huni Kuin that I've studied with from Brazil and Shivaham Tantra and like all of these things. And I also want to cover top down and bottom up. And I'm just like, you know what? I think that I don't want to fire hose anyone with a ton of new information. And I think if I included basically a sort of overview of investing in your human, right? Your person, your mind and your body, the mind and body of your human, and then also investing in your soul, your spirit, right? Those are obviously, we're all in, it's in the same body. We're a spiritual being having a human experience. But I actually love the way that I have sort of decided to structure this, because last week we covered investing in your business, which obviously you as a mind, body, soul, your creation, right? We are conscious creators. When we're coming into conscious creation, our business is our conscious creation, right? And so our business is going to flow downstream from how conscious we are, how developed we are, and where we basically are on our path to spiritual growth, right? But one of the things that it's going to be hard, if you're aware of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, everything, all of my programs, this podcast, everything exists for really this group of people are the people who are here to be sort of the tippity top of the triangle, right? So if you're looking at Maslow's hierarchy, there's like, you've got your base needs at the bottom, right? And you can't focus on your spiritual growth and like your soul's ascension if you don't know where you're going to be sleeping tonight, right? Like you're sort of stuck down in a lower level of Maslow's hierarchy, right? And so where I am essentially wanting to focus today is like, what are the things, obviously, like I have other like wealth codes is I made an entirely free course because I know, right? Like I can't help you all really go through the ascension process as humans on this planet if you don't have your basic needs taken care of, right? And so if you don't know what that is, Wealth Codes, it's a completely free 5-day course on money management and financial planning. And you can grab that at katherinemorrisoncoaching.com/wealth. So that's obviously one component of your ability to really be on a path of transcending, right? Up Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But there's another element to this, right? Which is really your human, your mind-body system, and whether, like, how well it is, how healthy it is. And if you are not healthy in your mind and body, you're going to have difficulty really moving up Maslow's hierarchy to be at these levels that we're talking about on this podcast, fulfilling your ultimate potential. And ultimately, if anyone's really nerded out on Maslow, after he created his hierarchy of needs, there was an additional layer at the tippity top, which was basically like self-transcendence, right? So that it was at the top, it's like, oh, you fulfill your own potential, right? And then past that, people that reach that, it's like, oh, wait, actually, I'm a conduit for the collective. Like, what am I here to do? And that is like unity consciousness, right? Like all one consciousness. And so when we're talking about the audience that's listening to this podcast, right? Like, you might not be there yet, right? But there's something inside of you that you feel very drawn to a podcast called Ascension Through Entrepreneurship. You want to be at the level where not only you're fulfilling your highest potential as the self, as the individual, but then actually once you're there, it's like, oh my goodness. And then what can I do? How can I transcend the self and actually become a channel for the collective, right? And so before we get there, which I think maybe we'll dive into it like more next week. I feel like there's a lot of things in like the spiritual growth and development section that I have really, that have really helped me on my path that I'll dive into next week. But I sort of think of it, there's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs talks about sort of the things in our outward environment, right? Like in our external landscape, that if we don't have these things in our external landscape, we will not be able to advance to the next level up the pyramid, right? And I think basically what I am like thinking about in terms of like this week and next week's podcast is, what does that look like in terms of our internal landscape? Right? We've got our external landscape as a human. If you can't, like, if you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you're going to have trouble creating a business that changes the planet, right? Like, I think we all get that, right? But then there's the same sort of elements. There are elements that exist in our internal world, in our mind-body system, that are like basically could track, right? The same way Maslow studied that and he created, this is the hierarchy of needs of humans and how humans advance in a civilization. I'm looking at what does that look like internally, right? And what that basically breaks down to today that I wanted to cover was, and we'll listen, y'all, you know, I just make a few bullet point notes and then I start riffing. So we'll see. I have a general idea of how this gets structured. And then, you know, my brain takes left turns. So let's go. Right. But if we're looking at what is that construct in our internal world, that if we don't have these base level things covered, we cannot advance to the next level. Actually, this sort of reminds me, last week I was talking to you about teacher trainers, right? And how teacher trainers have to be able to track what are the things that this person needs to learn in order for them to be able to like get the next concept, right? And the example I gave was my daughter's tutor, Miss Laura, who was able to identify in meeting my daughter once that she was like, oh, she's missing this math skill from second grade, and she's missing this from here, and she's missing this from here. She called it scaffolding, right? I think that's what she called it anyway. I remember that word scaffolding. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, you sort of have to build a scaffold in order to be able to climb up to the next level, right? And so today I wanted to cover, what does that look like? I do believe there's so many things that our mind and body is so interconnected. Obviously, there is like the brain, right? And then there's the nervous system that's basically controlling so much more than just what we think of with some other modalities that are really just working with like the prefrontal cortex. So yes, we're gonna nerd out a little bit today on these things and my experience with different modalities, my sort of path into having a more holistic vantage point of not just being super neck up, just the head. and then what that has looked like and what I see in my clients, where I see maybe a mind tool is better versus something like a body-based tool. And I want to start with this general, what will we call it? I mean, I think this is probably more like industry jargon, but I do think it's interesting because like depending on what part of the psychology world or the coaching world that you might be in, this might not even be on your radar, but there is basically a sort of a divide in this world. And there is a segment of people that really tend to focus on top-down approaches to wellness. And top-down essentially means focusing on cognitive, mind-based modalities and tools to help a person shift and change and transform. Then there is another segment of this world that is very much focused on bottom-up transformation. And bottom-up transformation essentially means there's stuff in our body, right? Like we have trapped, like when we are repressing, because listen, so many of us are just taught like stuff those emotions down. You're like 5 years old and your parents are like, stop crying. We don't have time for this, right? And so we learn very early to just start stuffing and stuffing and stuffing and stuffing all of that stuff down. And it literally starts to manifest in terms of like trapped things in our body. And I remember when I first learned this, I was like, yeah, sure. And then I like started doing some somatic work and I was like, oh yes, there's a lot coming up to be processed, right? And so I am not here to be team top down, like let's all just do cognitive mind-based work. I'm also not here to say I'm team bottom up and like let's only focus on body-based stuff. It's been really interesting because I feel like the more that I sort of travel through the world of personal development, the world of personal growth, I find that people tend to be really in one camp or the other. And my experience, it was very funny because I came through initially, my initial coach training was with a coach certification named IPEC. They were considered really like the Harvard of coaching. They're very well known in like the executive coaching space. And y'all know me, I wanted like the bougiest things. So I was like, I'm going to go with them. And I really, it's so funny. I was such like a little like employee, like, oh, I need the ICF accreditation to be taken seriously as a coach. So that was like another thing I really liked that they were ICF accredited. And one of the things about going in and getting certified by this particular coach certification, something that was unique to them was at the time they were the only coach certification that had done whatever clearances they needed to do with the US government to be able to accept the GI Bill as like we like, you know, if you serve in the military. And while I can't say, you know, we have a lot of international listeners, but there is something in the United States of America for people who are in the military that one of their benefits is like advanced money, right? Like they receive money that they can use towards training to help them once they come out to really have a soft place to land and a way to really like sharpen skills and move into whatever it is that they want to move into next, right? And so this was very random for me because I was just like a tech worker that had signed up for this coach certification, not knowing that actually at the time, it was the way that it was like the way I was certified, you would do 3 in-person weekends. And this was at the time, it was like, for some reason, all of the people in the entire country that were getting certified in my class, I think this was, you know, in whatever class that this like certification was moving through. But if you were someone who had come in through the GI Bill, you actually had to go to Austin. So I had this extremely unique experience from my first sort of step into the world of personal development, my first sort of step into the world of mental wellness and performance, that I would say it was like at least a third. It might have even been like a half of the people that I went through that training with were from the military, which was very unique for me. Like my father had served in the military. My grandfather had served in the military, but it was always sort of something like they didn't even talk about it, right? Like it was something that I knew within my family was a thing that the men in my family had chosen to do, but I was one of three girls and it like was just never even a thing. It was never discussed. And I wasn't friends with people that attended the military. I had one friend who had a boyfriend who was at West Point, and I think that was my extent of like my knowledge of the military, right? And so to go through training with a population that came from such a different culture from me, it opened my eyes up very quickly, very, very quickly to a lot of things that I think I probably would have had more skepticism or judgment around in terms of top down versus bottom up. And to be very clear in what I mean, I think for me, I grew up as someone that we didn't even talk about therapy when I was growing up. It was really like, if you have emotions, stuff them down, right? And so I was coming in being like, you know, I have like 30 years of this stuff I've been stuffing and I'd like to like work through some of it. But the closest I could get coming from a very like a culture where it was like, you know, get good grades, use your brain, develop your brain. It was almost like the only way I could enter the personal development world and the world of like mental health and wellness was through the mind, was through a top-down approach. Because if you had talked to me about like breath work or EFT tapping or like somatic experiencing, like some of the things we'll talk about today, I'd be like, what in the fuck are you talking about? Like that's weird. And I don't think so. And so I remember it was like, as I was going through this training, I was just becoming aware, right? Like I was like, wait, what? Like I just thought that there was therapy. And then I learned about coaching and I'm like interested in like this certification was a lot more like psychotherapy based. So it really was a more top-down modality. But then getting to know these men who had gone, and women actually, but like the people that I became closer with as that I would call like personal friends to this day were actual men who were combat veterans. Like I had a good friend that was, I could cry, but he was like on the ground in Fallujah and like lost a lot of really good friends and suffered a lot of PTSD from what had happened, what he had experienced there. And, you know, I had peer coach with people in the Coast Guard that had to experience like real, I would call like big, I should also say there's big T trauma versus little T trauma, which just spoiler alert, little T trauma is smaller things that our mind body system processes is like, ooh, that was too much too fast, or that was a lot for me to handle. Like all of us have little T trauma. Big T trauma is really considered stuff like, I should almost put like a trigger warning on this, right? But things that are like death, right? Like actual violence, sexual violence, sexual assault, like things like that are considered larger big T trauma kind of things. And to go through this training with people who had suffered a lot of big T trauma and to hear their stories and to hear what they were going through and all of the different modalities they were trying, I started learning about things like plant medicine. I started learning about things like, I mean, I was aware of EFT tapping from like Instagrammers on social media. And I was like, I don't know, that's kind of weird, right? And then I would talk to my friends who were in the military and they were like, no, like actually when we come out and we have actual, like we have trauma from combat, we're using not just top-down cognitive stuff. We're doing like bottoms up. Like we're working with our bodies. We're doing breath work. We're doing EFT tapping. Like there's a lot. I mean, if you even look at the population that they're really looking at studying right now with a lot of like psychedelics work as it's coming back up and becoming more prevalent, right? I think it sort of like was prevalent in the 60s and was gaining momentum. And then we had more conservative legislation that really squashed it down.
But this was even like, I don't know, 5 years ago, I think, before it was like really sort of in the collective consciousness. Now we're seeing like stuff on Netflix, like How to Change Your Mind and stuff like that. That just makes it like the data, the actual science, like everything that, those certain modalities and things like plant medicine are doing were sort of the make or break things for a lot of these combat veterans. And so when you look at a lot of the Johns Hopkins and I forget who, like, I feel like I just know Johns Hopkins is doing a lot. There's a lot of research facilities that are like bringing it back now. And a lot of the population that they're initially working with and interested in working with is people who have big T trauma, had served in the military, have big stuff they're working through, right? And so it was really important, I think, for that to be my sort of first, I think of this as like paradigm shifts, beliefs that sort of crack open your world. For me, going through that coach certification with that many combat veterans that had like things that were maybe big enough that they were going into, I think at that point, they were maybe considered more fringe modalities at this point, like things like breath work, like, and EFT tapping, they almost seem like so mainstream. It's like, it's almost weird for me to do a podcast on it. Like you don't know. But I just wanted to bring it all forward because it was really powerful for me to see my own, paradigm blindness, which I actually want to have like a whole podcast on soon, but it was basically like my belief system of being like only the brain matters, being very neck up and only focused on the how well my brain was at performing in my life and only prioritizing that. I really discounted anything that was more focused on the body, because I did not understand the nervous system. I did not understand trauma. Like I did not understand all of these things. And I didn't even learn any of that in my first coach certification, and that was fine. But what was fascinating was that I think at that point then I started working for, I don't know, maybe 18 months or a couple of years in my business, was signing, you know, lots and lots of clients. And as more and more people were coming to me, it just became so clear that I was attracting a lot of people that I would consider like high performers, you know, valedictorians of their high school class. They had done very well in whatever, whether they were medical doctors, lawyers, corporate America, even people in the creative fields that like had just like whatever the thing was that they chose to do, they took performance and being the best very seriously, but in a way that I started to become acutely aware was a trauma response. And there was it was like basically from this like cultural belief of, right, like I believe in order to be loved, I have to be X, Y, or Z. And oftentimes when you got down to the root of it, that was like, that was not in their conscious awareness that that was what was driving them to do all of these things. But the more I coached hundreds and hundreds of people, it just became so clear. And so the sort of top-down tools I had that were like these mindset-y tools just really, they just weren't going to get the job done, right? Like they weren't going to be able to go to the root and like pull things out the way that I wanted to be pulling things out. And so I moved from there. And it's funny because I actually ended up taking my next two coaching certifications. One was completely like the most top-down modality. It was very, it's called cognitive behavioral therapy, but it's very much like your thoughts create your feelings and your feelings drive your actions, and all of that will produce your results, right? So it was like all like, what are your thoughts? Like every tool that they had kept you like super up in your head. And then at the exact same time I was going through that, I was also then taking a trauma and somatic certification that was completely the opposite. So it was completely bottoms up, right? And so their whole thing was like the sort of tagline was your state creates your story. And so the way that they positioned it was like where you are in your nervous system and your body will determine, that actually cues then up to your head what thoughts to have. Right? So they weren't going. The first certification was like, no, 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 it's your thoughts and your thoughts create your feelings. And then the other one was like, no, 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 no. When we study the actual nervous system and the science behind this, the actual science that we have documented much more shows that your state, the state of your body, will then trigger up to your mind and will create the thoughts that you kind of loop in, right? And it was just hilarious for me to go through this period where it was sometimes literally back to back. I would have like one call where I was getting trained in this like very top down, what's the thought you're having when you have that thought, how do you feel? And then what do you do? Sort of like style of modality. And then literally in the next hour, it was like dropping into the body, feeling sensation, learning to become aware of what a regulated nervous system looked like in another human. Like I could track literally from watching the person in front of me, what is the sort of color of their skin? What sort of movements, like tracking subtle body movements, is the person in front of me? Are they dysregulated? Which means like they're sort of in a stress state and there needs to be some tool to ground them, to center them, right? To do something there before we could ever even talk about thoughts. And so it was just very fascinating for me and very illuminating to go through these next two certifications, one which was very focused on top down and the other which was very focused on bottom up, and to be able to pull all of that into like my backpack of what I'm able to use with clients. And I sort of open with all of this to say, I don't think, just like last week, right? There's no, I think all roles are sacred in the society and there's no like good or bad, right? I just do believe depending on who you uniquely are and what is going on with you, there just might be a certain modality that might serve you better, right? And so I really wanted to unpack that today to talk through, I think, both top down and bottom up, and to break down what that might look like. So if you're someone where you have tried something like mindset work, right? Or you have, you know, you maybe been to talk therapy, you're doing something where it's like you're sitting in a chair and you're talking and it's very cognitive and it's very in your head. And you notice that it's only helpful maybe for the moment, right? Like maybe you have a small shift in that moment, but it just feels like something you keep looping and looping and looping on. That is a very, very good sign that you want to look at a different type of modality, something that is more bottom up and integrates the body into the equation. And so things like this could include breath work, right? And learning how to actually consciously use different types of breath in the body to really actually sort of like flood your system. And if you're in the accelerator, you already know this. We have like a whole training on the breath. And then we have like 60 embodiment practices to be helping you like really learn this, reshape your nervous system, like get out of your head and do all of this. Or you might have studied this like elsewhere, right? Like I'm not the only one teaching this stuff, right? But so it is very well documented and studied that like if you are not breathing correctly, you are actually triggering to your body to continue like coursing stress hormones through your body. And so when someone says like, hey, take a few deep breaths, and then you're like, fuck you, like you're mad, right? Like, but like we've been saying take a few deep breaths for a really long time before we had the science behind it. It is now very well documented. If you take three long, slow, deep breaths all the way deep, deep down, like past your belly button, you will trigger something called your parasympathetic nervous system, which actually then triggers to your body that you're safe. It triggers to your body that you can relax, and it creates a completely different way of being, right? And so that's just one very small example. Like the world of breath work is so large and vast. There's a million different modalities. And if this is something that's interesting for you, I highly recommend joining us inside of the Brand Alchemy Accelerator. Like we do a lot of breath work practices. There's over 60 inside the portal for everything from You know, if you're trying to use like mindset tools to like get you to show, like, I just need to think differently and I need to like push myself to show up on video and you're having trouble doing that, we have a breathwork practice for that, right? If you're, feeling nervous about going out to networking events and you think you just need to like pump yourself up, like, no, you don't. We have embodiment and breathwork practices for that, right? So, everything that I've learned has really come into informing my programs and making it a fully holistic transformational approach to change, right? And so I think you need to just kind of look at, if you are trying a lot of mindset type, head up, neck up focused things, and it's not working, you want to look at something like breath work. Like, there's also a modality called somatic experiencing. So I went through a training called Trauma and Somatics, and they were very deep. I believe they actually were apprentices of Peter Levine for quite a long time. And Peter Levine is kind of considered like the OG grandfather of like the somatic space and understanding this more like bottom up body-based work. And so he has an entire, you could even get trained by him as a somatic experiencing practitioner. But if there's something where you feel like this feels like it's not like a head thing, I've tried the head things and it's not working, you could look into something like hiring a somatic experiencing practitioner. This is where even like modalities like yoga and dance, right? Like there's different types of modalities that incorporate these things. And it's so fascinating. Listen, Catherine's taking a left turn. Get ready, y'all. Like, I can hear Catherine from 5 years ago being like, oh my gosh, dance as like a healing modality. And so I do just want to speak to it because like, I know Catherine 5 years ago was there. But it's been really interesting, the more that I've learned the science behind the mind and the body and the connection between the two, and all of this stuff that in more civilized cultures like, you know, America and Europe, right? Versus when I lived in Namibia as a volunteer teacher the year after college, like, guess what they were doing every night? Like, as the sun would turn to dusk, like, I would hear like just groups of people in the village, like around the fire, dancing and singing. They didn't have, like, there weren't many TVs, there wasn't much to do. And so people would gather in community and they would dance and they would sing. And it seems so obvious, right? But there are actually just like studies that like when we carry emotions in our body, we need to release them somehow. And it's interesting because things like singing, there's a whole training in the accelerator where I go into different practices like singing and dancing and other things that help you. But it's now scientifically documented that singing actually tones your vagus nerve, which helps you regulate your nervous system and not feel as stressed, right? So if you notice yourself humming and then you're like, stop humming, that's weird, you're probably doing something. Your body is naturally wanting to do something to help you, and then you're stopping it, right? Or if you feel like you want to dance or you want to move and you're not letting your body move, I literally, when I went through this like trauma and somatics, I started to note when my body just needed to move. Because there's certain things you see in the animal kingdom, right? Like after a predator comes and it goes for like prey, the prey will freeze. And then what the prey does as its body is coming back online, watch this. Just go to any fucking YouTube video. The animal shakes. The animal shakes its body to release all that pent up energy and emotion so that it can just get on with its day, right? And because we in this more civilized culture have decided that's weird, we actually are creating a lot of dis-ease and unwellness for ourselves. There's actually a study, and because this is a left turn, I don't have all the details in front of me, so don't come at me if I get a detail or two wrong. But I'm quite certain it was Bosnia. There was this guy who was like studying in Bosnia during the war, and he was tracking the differences between the adults and the children and what was happening for them to sort of cope, right? And what happened was that they're going through war, big T trauma kind of stuff, and the adults had been mentally conditioned to not be weird, don't shake, don't do stuff, just get on, like just stuff the emotions down, get through it, right? Like all of these types of things. Whereas the kids hadn't necessarily received that conditioning yet. And he started to notice something interesting about the children was that they would shake. they would shake and they would move their bodies, and they were actually like processing the stuff, whereas the adults were like housing more and more trauma in their systems. And that was like, gosh, he actually went on to found an entire somatic modality that's like totally not coming to me right now, but it's like, I have done it before going into like plant medicine ceremonies to sort of like release tension in the body. And you sort of move through your different parts of the body and you like tense release. And you might even notice if you do meditation, sometimes you will be guided in certain types of meditation to tense release certain parts of your body. There is a scientific reason why you're being guided to do that, right? And so it's just been really fascinating for me coming into this work and starting to understand like the huge mindset block people have around body-based work and allowing themselves to drop into the body to process emotion and to actually release like decades of stuff that's stored in their systems, right? And so I just wanted to sort of go through my magic carpet ride of coming into this work, of being skeptical of anything that wasn't like a mindset-based modality, to just recognizing like, oh, holy cow, like the more that I actually learn, the more that I can see it's actually like, I don't want to say it's more important to have bottom up, but actually that like it's to have an integrated approach, right? I think is very important. And so one of the things that I wanted to spend a little bit of time on is the difference between therapists and coaches. And I do think this is an area that has almost gotten more muddy to me. And maybe it was just like my bright-eyed, bushy-tailed when I first got trained. The line seemed very clear, right? And when I was first trained as a coach, it was very much like if you are having someone come to session and they are non-functioning repeatedly, right? Meaning that like they are coming session after session, they're not doing work in between sessions, like they're just like their energy, where they're at, it could be something where it's more, it could be like a clinical depression type thing. You have no business as a coach working with that or doing that, right? Coaching it's a not regulated industry. It's not regulated, right? And there's not training for people that have more clinical, like they need clinical medical help. And I think we could also talk about this with like the more big T stuff. What I do think is interesting though, and I was like trying to think about how to structure this, and you're just following my brain trying to figure it out in real time, was I wanted to talk about the difference between like therapists and coaching, but then it's also really important. I needed to talk about what is the difference between top down versus bottom up, because actually, right, like when I was taught the differences between therapy and coaching, it was very much like I think a really good analogy, the best analogy I've heard for this is like, let's say that you are an athlete and you have an injury, right? You have an injury, you're out on the field, you're playing, something happens and you have an injury and you actually can't play the game. You need like a physical therapist. You need to go to the hospital and get that tended to, right? Like you're actually not able to then be functional on the field, right? If there's like the mental version of that is like, if you're non-functioning, if you really need help, you should for sure like see a therapist. You have no business seeing a coach if there's something where you're like actually non-functioning, right? And no shade, right? Like if you're listening to this and there's something that has happened to you, you might've been someone that was like very deeply functioning. And then maybe there was a big event in your life and you're really struggling with it. I would highly recommend working with someone who's actually trained in that, right? In like clinical stuff. But what I also wanted to speak to was even in the therapy world, there's a lot of people in the therapy world that when you get in there, it's like they're not solutions-based therapists. So like you sort of just talk on the same thing over and over and over again. And for a lot of people, it doesn't feel like they make a lot of progress. And then also there's a lot of therapy modalities where you're just focused on the mind and you're not actually having any sort of integrative mind-body approach, right? And so as I was like thinking through what, like, how do I sort of parse this out for you all and then sort of lay it onto the table for you to just recognize there's like, I'm doing my best to like lay out, these are the variables, these are the facets, these are the types of things to think about. But if you're someone where there has been sort of a big traumatic event, I'm actually thinking about like having a whole nother podcast on, I was listening to this comedian, Neil Brennan. He had a comedy bit on trauma flexing and how like, as the understanding of trauma has become mainstream, like a lot of people are like, it's my trauma. And I do believe that's a thing that has almost become a mindset block for people. So I don't mean like little t, this thing happened to me and now I'm using it as like a shield to like move forward in my life. I mean it as like a genuine, there's a large thing that has happened and it's having you struggle to show up in your life, to show up in your business, to do whatever it is, right? Like even if last year you were there and then maybe something has happened, right? I would recommend really looking for something that's more someone with a therapy background and trauma, not just trauma informed, but trauma trained. And to just like very quickly, like give you the lowdown on that. Like I, for instance, I'm someone who is a trauma-informed certified coach, right? So like I have learned about how trauma is stored in the body, how it's carried in the body, how to track it in my people. But for sure, I am not the person when a combat veteran comes back to be like working with them with their body. Like we would need, like I there's people, right, who specialize, they work for many years to be someone who is trauma trained to actually be working in that world. I have seen, and I do just sort of like want to caution that if you are someone that has actual, you believe it is severe trauma and something to sort of be, you're not really ready to move forward from it, right? Like I think I talked recently about like victim consciousness, but when we have a traumatic event, in order for us to move forward from it, sometimes we just need to be witnessed in our helplessness. We need to be witnessed as victims. We need to be witnessed in all of those things and to like allow ourselves to like really sit and process through that so that then we can move forward from it, right? And so I think that's another example of like someone like, now coming back to this example of like, okay, so like if you're an athlete and you have an injury and you can't play on the field, like you want to move into more of like the therapeutic modalities, whereas something like coaching is for there's an athlete on the field and you want to play your best, right? You're an athlete on the field. You don't have severe injuries that are like keeping you from being able to like run the bases and do the things, and you want to perform at your best. That is when you want to look at hiring something like a coach, right? And so something like therapy is non-functioning to good and functioning, and good to great is coaching. And even within that, there can be nuances, because you might be someone listening to this that in general, you're doing very well in something like, I don't know, your business, but then maybe there's been infidelity or something that happens in your marriage that then you're like, oh, okay, like I would really like to see someone that has like a robust background in this type of thing. This is like very hurtful. It's very painful for me. I want to just sit in this for a little bit and like really process through this before I'm even ready to move on from that, right? And so that is like, it gets real muddy real fast. And I don't even think it's necessarily a problem, but I have just seen, I'm even like, I have a lot of clients that come, they are therapists, they are trained therapists, and then they decide that they want to move into the coaching world. Number one, because therapy is much more heavily regulated and they want to work with maybe a bit more of a higher level client, right? Who's a little bit further along, a little bit more advanced, and it's not that like non-functioning to sort of good journey. And also like they want to be able to be paid well for their mental health services, and they see coaching as more of a path to that. And I think because of that, there are some people that do actually have more of that therapeutic background or trauma trained background that are coaches, right? And so I just do think for you as the consumer, when you're looking at this, to just think through everything I have laid out today and be an informed consumer. Because especially as trauma has become a topic so mainstream that Neil Brennan is doing bits. He had this whole bit where he was talking about women on social media and how like they're all on a journey and how like no one believed, like their thing is always like, and no one believed in me. And then I had to do this thing. And then he's like, talking about trauma flexing. And I was watching it with my husband last night and I was like, oh my gosh, like this really has mental health, mental wellness, and even the awareness of trauma and what trauma is has tipped into the mainstream in a way that then when people are entering the field as coaches, if they're sort of green and they don't know, and they like listen to some podcasts, like they might start marketing that they're there to like help people with trauma. And I don't think that's a good idea. Right? I think like in order to like really be able to work with that stuff, you have to have genuinely studied and trained, right? If you're going to help someone that has things like that, right? So I think for people who are listening that maybe you are in that field, to just be aware from this lens. And if you're someone who's more consumer and you're considering, who do I hire? What do I look for as I'm looking to really help support myself moving forward? And I think the two main things are, you really want to look for, do I want more of a top-down approach? Something like cognitive behavioral therapy, mindset coaching, things like that are very top-down. And those can be useful if you don't think like, listen, if you don't have things where there's like chronic worry, chronic anxiety, things like that. Mindset top-down approaches might be a beautiful thing and the only modality you ever need. For me, it took me a couple of years of doing this work to realize that there were just these like states of being that it was like I was trying to solve with mind tools. And I was like, wait a second, like this isn't my thoughts. It's actually like my nervous system, and we're going to just nerd out for a second, right? But like if you had a caretaker growing up that was dysregulated in their nervous system, if they had chronic anxiety, chronic worry, depression, like whatever the state of their body was, right? When you are a child, an infant, the way that your nervous system is essentially shaped is you co-regulate with your primary caretaker. Right. And so there were things for me where when I learned that, I was like, holy shit. Like, I wish someone had told me, because like when I looked at my primary caretaker, like chronic anxiety and worry. And then I was sitting there being like, oh, it's just my thoughts. And then it took me a while to learn the actual science and understanding of the nervous system, how the body works, how the nervous system is basically shaped and trained, how you reshape the nervous system, all of those things, right? And so I just wanted to create an entire podcast on this, because I do see, I don't see this happening maliciously. I genuinely don't think I've actually ever seen this happening in a way that I believe is malicious. But I think sometimes it's not necessarily the intent. I think it's the impact, right? And so I think some people that don't have a nuanced enough understanding of this work will sell something to people that need more help. And people that are looking for help don't understand themselves, and they don't understand this work enough to know which modality to really be looking at. And so while I did an entire episode last week on your business, I wanted to lay this out here, because this is the kind of thing where having this kind of nuanced understanding as you're going out, whether you're hiring a therapist, hiring a coach, hiring whatever it is, to be looking at, is this person top down? Are they bottom up? Or do they have an integrated approach? Is a very important question to be asking, right? And then is this something where I'm really looking for, like I'm having trouble functioning in this area and I'm looking to get to functioning? Or is this something where I feel like I'm good and I'm functioning and I'm really looking to go to great? And those are really the sort of different areas that I would look for with that. And then just closing it out here to like give some sense, because I know I mentioned earlier, like there's different things inside of the Brand Alchemy Accelerator. For those of you that maybe you've tried mindset work, you've tried, you know, like journaling and top down and contemplative reflecting and things like that. And it just, you sort of find yourself looping on the same thing, right? I've even had like, marketing emails where I talk about like, you need the accelerator. If there's something where, you like find that you have the same breakthrough in your journal, like 5 times, but then there's like no forward momentum, right? It's like you use a mindset tool to get the awareness, but then you actually need to be able to work with your body to be able to take action and move forward. Right. And I just want to be like very clear about this at the end and the way that I am marketing and selling my program. And I'm very clear with this even inside of the program. Listen, if you have big T trauma, you are welcome to join. I am just not telling you that I can help you with something like severe trauma where there is something where there's like non-functioning, right? And so the way that this is actually like, I bring this up a lot inside of the Brand Alchemy Accelerator in the show up with confidence training. So when you join the accelerator, it's inside of the internal rebrand section, because we divide everything up, right? There's your internal world and how you perceive yourself and your mind and body. And we sort of have to purify and clear that in order for you to then be able to like externally rebrand, right? So like, if you have like a nervous system that tends to like sort of freeze or like go into like a lot of anxiety and you're not able to show up on video, like we need to be doing all of the work in the internal rebrand section and the embodiment practices and the breath work, like, you know, the dozens and dozens and dozens of things that we have inside there for you in order for you to then be doing the external rebrand work of like showing up more powerfully on video, making strong calls to action to work with you, like elevating your presence and like being like not feeling, super contracted when you go out to networking events and feeling comfortable pitching yourself, like all of those types of things. That's not usually like your thoughts and your, like your mindset, right? It's usually like, we really need to be working at the mind body level, but I just want to be very clear. This is like, it is a program that is designed for people that it's like, you're good, but you know that there's just some like sludgy blocks that you would like some help with, right? So this is not like, I'm very clear in the training and the practices and everything. Like, I do not purport to be, nor am I someone who is here to help people who have deep, severe trauma move forward on that journey. This is really for people who it would be called more of the little T, right? The little T trauma that like all humans have. And it's a very normal thing to feel nervous about public speaking. It's a very normal thing to feel, you know, a lot of women have been conditioned to not take up space, to not be seen. And that's not something you're going to be able to solve from the mind top down level, which is why the Brand Alchemy Accelerator is really a holistic top down, like everything in your belief systems, like the boxes that bind training people. Like, listen, I think I could sell that training for like the price of the entire membership. Someone just joined recently and she was like, oh my gosh, I just heard everyone in here talking about the boxes that bind training. And so I went and did that. And like, she just posted with like all of her huge breakthroughs on like all of the belief systems she had that are keeping her from showing up powerfully in her business. So that's beautiful. That's an example. The boxes that bind training in the Brand Alchemy Accelerator is a top down training. Whereas something like the show up with confidence training inside of the Brand Alchemy Accelerator is then showing you from a bottom up approach, the different tools, the different things that you can be working on to actually reshape your nervous system, to be able to like go pitch yourself with ease and not feel scared, to be able to go out and public speak, right? Like, you're going to have the normal sort of human jitters, but you're not going to feel like it's this big block anymore, right? And so I just wanted to end with that because I know that I talked about that a little bit earlier on. And I just want to be very clear. There is like everything, right? There's black on one end and white on the other, and there's a million shades of gray in between. And I do think sometimes, both as people who are like marketing and selling services and people that are then buying, right, services in the personal development space, it's very useful to know sort of the different shades of gray, and as a seller to know what shade of gray you're selling, and as a buyer to know exactly what it is that you're looking for. So listen, we have covered all of the things I think that I want to cover. We dove through top down, bottom up. Let me look at like all of my different things that I had on here. Yeah. So we talked about breath work, somatic experiencing. Another really nice modality, I'll just end with this, that you could look into if you're curious about, like, if you've been doing mind stuff and it hasn't really been working, is to look into EFT, tapping. And that is something that I think really beautifully combines top down and bottom up. You're talking through things, you're verbally processing as you go, and then you're also tapping on various points of the body. And that was one where it's like, to me, just the idea of tapping on points of your body seemed so weird when I was first coming into this work. And then I just remember my friend who was the person who had been a combat veteran of Fallujah talking about how for them coming back, actually EFT was a tool that had been extremely useful for him. And that's all I had to hear to like be sold. I was like, oh, like these things that I think are fringe and weird because of my paradigm blindness and like my conditioning, right, from the culture that's so, we've been so conditioned to be like neck up, in order for us to really become integrated with our mind and body, it, like going back to like, how do we do that Maslow's hierarchy? What needs to happen in our internal landscape? My work really, I think, you know, there's the work I talked about last week, my work in like really helping people like grow their businesses. But then on the other side, all of it is ascension through entrepreneurship, right? And so I'm not just looking at ascension through like your business revenue increasing, which is beautiful. I love when you all like build wealth and have all the things you want, right? But I also want to be helping all of you in your ascension through your basically like your personal growth and spiritual journey. And for a lot of people, they sort of get stuck in these worlds of like trying to just do the top down, and it's not working. And because they're not integrated mind body, they actually have trouble living their purpose and doing the work that their soul came here to do. And I've seen it on the other side. I've been in spaces where I can see people who have no, they don't focus on anything around belief systems or top down, or like they're really getting curious about the thoughts that they have that are looping. And I've heard it's like, oh no, just process it. Don't go into the story. Just process it. And if you go into spaces that are only bottom up, there is like, it's actually an emphasis on literally do not go into the story at all. Just process the emotion and move forward. And it is my personal opinion that if you are just doing top down or you are just doing bottom up, you will not be a fully integrated human because you have a mind and a body. And to understand and actually pull in a more integrated approach is the sort of thing that will allow you to then really become aligned, become not just good, but like really high functioning, high performing in a way where not just the results you're getting externally are really great, but that you're feeling really great day to day. So that was Catherine's deep dive into hiring personal support and the mind-body connection. I don't even know what I'm gonna title this, y'all, but I'll think of something. You'll see it on the title when you clicked on it. And then next week, we will dive into investing in your spiritual evolution. So I will see you all next week. I love you so much. Bye. If you are loving what you are learning on the podcast, you are going to be over the moon inside of my programs. There are only 3 core skills you need as an entrepreneur: branding, messaging, and scaling. When you aren't signing the number of clients you want, it's only one of 2 problems. First, you're either not attracting people to work with you, or you're attracting the wrong kinds of buyers, and that is a branding problem. Or you're not communicating effectively to the people you've attracted in, so they're sitting on the fence instead of raising their hands to come work with you, and that is a messaging problem. Once your branding and messaging is on point, you get a new problem. We call it a champagne problem around here, and that's always the type of problems I want to be helping you solve. And that new problem is that you have way too many people wanting to work with you. The demand for your service is way higher than the time you have in a day. And that's where scaling comes in. For women going to the top, we're setting up scalable offers, scaled marketing, and a company where you have support from team and systems so that your business finally is something taking care of you instead of you feeling like the business is one more thing you have to take care of. No matter where you are on your journey, I have the exact program to help you. We work on your brand inside the Brand Alchemy Accelerator and your messaging inside the Words Are Wands Mastermind. And for those ready to expand from solopreneur to entrepreneur running a company, I help you do it in a pleasure-filled way inside of the Pleasure and Precision Mastermind.
branding, messaging, and scaling. These three skills make up the triple threat skill set stack and are the clearest, fastest pathway for your business to bloom in ways you never dreamt possible. To learn more and join us, head to www.katherinemorsoncoaching.com. I'll see you there.